sports does not build character. This is something I came to learn in my coaching journey, and in an effort to address the lack of character development taking place within my athletes, I tried to get intentional about it. So I started putting my athletes through some character curriculum in the classroom. Well, to be honest with you, that wasn't very helpful, right? Developing an individual's character, right? Raising moral human beings is a little bit more complicated than that, than just putting them in a classroom and teaching them about it. See, sports actually provide experiences to develop character. It's not about sports giving us some platform or podium for us to stand up and lecture our athletes and tell our athletes to be good people and this is how to do it. If we're intentional as coaches, we need to use sports, the experiences it provides, to develop the character, to shape our athletes' sense of right or wrong, to partner with parents in raising moral human beings. And that's what we'll be discussing today with Richard Weisbord. He's an expert in children's moral and emotional development. And last week we were talking about, our role as parents. And this week we're going to really focus in on more in our role as coaches. Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast. I'm your host, JP Nurbin, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Nate Sanderson. The mission of this podcast is to help you become a better leader and build a better culture. In addition to this podcast, I'm the founder of TOC, which provides one-on-one coaching and consulting for leaders. Learn more about us at tocculture.com. This episode is brought to you by the TOC newsletter. Every Thursday, our newsletter includes two things you don't want to miss out on. Firstly, the notes to that week's podcast episode. Whether you're listening while driving the car, out for a run, or doing the dishes, we don't want you to miss the biggest takeaways from each episode. Secondly, each newsletter is a short article from myself or Nate on leadership and culture. These articles are designed to inspire, encourage, and provide practical insights into leadership and culture building. Our content is a perfect fit for anyone who wants to stay up to date with the latest trends and insights in culture building. You can subscribe to the newsletter at tocculture.com or by clicking on the link in the details of each episode. Me and Nate actually did a few podcasts, just the two of us talking around the balance between, a competitive sporting environment and a recreational one where kids are just out there to have some fun. And I think reading your book really challenged me and inspired that conversation. And I think prior to reading your book, I was like, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, we don't need to keep score. And I'm not saying you have to keep score, but I think it's like we just move from one extreme to the other. For the first 10 years, there's no score cap. And all of a sudden then we keep score. And then there's parents, trying to take each other out, and the coaches are trying to take the referees out. Like can we keep score and just all keep it like under control and like just, there's a score and that's it. Move on. What can we learn? And so I've actually started to do that. Half the time the kids keep score anyways, right? So they know, it's just like we want to avoid it because we think that's the magical cure for this over competitive society, which it clearly is not, because there's loads of trophies being handed out for participation and there's loads of leagues that don't keep score, and then we still have all these problems on the other end. So yeah, what do you see as far as like potential solutions or ways to approach, competition at the youth and then, further on level?
Yeah. Well, I think you alluded to this earlier, one of you did. I don't think there's anything about sports per se that builds character. I think it depends entirely on how sports are handled, that sports can undermine character, in a bad system with bad coaching. And sports can be very powerful in building character in the right circumstances with the right coach and the right approach. And competition's an example of this because, I think competition can become reckless and run amok and can have much more to do with the coach's ego or certain kids' ego. Or competition can be a very positive experience. I mean, I'm mostly really positive about competition. I think it's competition because of its potential to build character. And so when we teach kids after a game in a genuine way to appreciate kids on the other team that they have been really angry at and really locked in competition with, that's a hard form of caring that's really important for them to learn. When we ask them to thank the ref after the game, even if they're pissed at the ref, that's another hard form of caring that's important to learn. when there's somebody on your team who's not as good a player, and you feel like they're kind of sabotaging or diminishing your prospects of winning, and you're still kind to that person, you know, that's a harder form of caring. And, you know, you can't have those harder forms of caring without competition. And competition creates these moments to do these harder forms of caring that are so important. But again, you have to have a coach and a system and a culture, as you both know, that supports those things, you know, that supports appreciating people on the other team, appreciating the ref, appreciating your teammates for the strengths they have, and not just, you know, hyper-focusing on their weaknesses.
Yeah, let's explore that a little bit more, too, just around building character and what that looks like for us as coaches. So let's imagine, for instance, you become, you know, all-knowing, all-powerful, right? And you can implement any initiative you want across youth sports in America, you know, that's going to focus on character development. What would you implement? What would you prescribe for every youth coach in America?
Well, you know, I think the two things that come to mind are, I wish I could tell you one thing, but I can't tell you.
Go two. That's fine. I'll give you two.
No, but I think, and you know, I've seen things like this. I'm sure you've seen this things like this, but you know, 10 guideposts for building character in your athletes, for coaches. And maybe 10 red flags too. 10 things you shouldn't do, 10 things you should do. Or maybe 5 things you should do, 5 things you shouldn't do. And they are the kind of things that we're talking about. I mean, you know, they are the kind of things like getting your kids to appreciate other members of the team, even the weaker players, getting your kids to appreciate people on the other team, getting your kids to think about the ways they can contribute to the team culture, not just to their individual performance. I mean, there are a set of things like that that would be guideposts for me. I'd also give coaches guideposts on working with parents. And I do think that it's really important, and the sports leagues I was most comfortable with, there were really clear guidance for us as parents from the outset about what kind of behavior was appropriate and what wasn't. And in a couple of cases, when parents were really out of line, somebody would say something to them. And I think it's really hard to build character when a parent is undermining you as a coach. And there's certain things that there's certain ways you got to regulate parents in these situations. And sometimes that also means getting parents to regulate each other, you know, getting some parents who can be allies for you, who can talk to those parents too. There's a politics of this, as you know, that can get complicated. But those are the things that I would focus on. It would be around building coaches' skills as moral leaders, as moral mentors, and building coaches' capacity to work with parents constructively.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, because that dynamic is becoming more and more challenging for coaches and teachers alike every year, right? You mentioned in your book, it doesn't take long to do a Google search to find out, you know, all kinds of egregious behavior by parents at sporting events. And I think oftentimes as coaches, the reaction to that is push them as far away as possible and try to keep them from screwing up the whole thing, you know, that you're trying to create in your practices and in games. So when you mention, you know, the healthiest environments that you've been in, there's been boundaries that have been in place. What should that look like, or what does it look like when it's at its best?
So, you know, I in a couple of sports programs, you know, I coached my kids when they were young, and I did a little bit of this, but I was more a spectator. I was watching games, and you know, I feel like I understand the parent side of this better than the coach side of this. But as a parent, you know, I always thought it was a really positive thing when we would get a code of conduct for parents, essentially. And the code of conduct would be things like, if you want to give me input about something, here is the time to do it and the way to do it. If you want to give your kid advice, you can't give it to them during the game or right before the game when I'm coaching them. You can do that at some other point. If you see a parent that is, in your mind, clearly violating one of these codes of conduct, here's what you should do. You should talk to the head of the league, whatever the system is, for doing that. But I thought those kind of things were really helpful. I also thought, you know, some of that was also around things like the red flags for parents we were talking about. Like, if here's some signs you could be over-involved. And some of it was around, like, just behavior around referees, behavior around players on the other team. We're not going to demean players on the other team. We're not going to demean the referee. I mean, I'm at games a lot still, you know, where I go to high school games and parents are just trashing the referee. And I'm just thinking, what are you doing? You know, it's just modeling something. You know, these guys have a thankless job, right? You know this. I mean, what are we doing? Just unmitigated trashing of the referee. And, you know, there's a limit to how much you can monitor parents, but spelling some of this stuff out, it might help a little bit, and having the courage sometimes to reinforce it. Say to parents, if you keep doing this, I'm going to ask you to leave.
This episode is brought to you by my latest book, The Culture System, A Proven Process for Creating an Extraordinary Team Culture. It's been endorsed by many exceptional leaders and coaches, one of those being 2022 NBA Coach of the Year, Monty Williams, who called it a special book with inspiring stories, applicable strategies, and a proven model for developing team culture. This book is more than just a collection of practical tools for leaders. It teaches a proven framework that some of the world's best organizations and teams use. It's packed with real-life examples and case studies that show you how these ideas can be implemented in any context. Whether you're a coach, manager, or leader, you'll find invaluable insights to help you build the culture you want. Don't miss out on this opportunity to transform your team. Visit myculturesystem.com to learn more about the book, or you can get your copy on Amazon or Audible today. I think one of the things that I appreciated about your book was that you spoke a little bit to sports. You also spoke to education. I know that I've learned a lot about better practices for us as coaches by leaning on other fields. And I think this is one where probably education in some places has bit more of a head start when it comes to building those relationships with parents. I guess I'm curious, I know you said you couldn't speak as much to the coaches because your coaching experience was limited, but what have you seen done in education around building the relationship with the students' parents that might be helpful and beneficial here?
One of the things is, and you know, this can be harder for coaches because, you know, it depends what kind of league you're in, but as you know, if you're doing volunteer coaching and you have an hour and a half a week, there's a limit to what you can do. But I think ideally, you know, one of the things teachers do is they're proactive. Like the first time they call a parent isn't about a problem. They will call parents at the beginning of the year. They will, you know, have regular communication, let parents know what to expect. This is what I'm going to be doing in the classroom. Here's some of the content that I'm going to be covering. Let them know how they want to be communicated with up front. You know, in some schools in Boston, they're now doing home visits for parents who are completely new to the system. That's a really nice thing to do, or just to call welcoming parents who are new to a program or new to a system. And again, I know there are limits on coaches' time, but these are sort of aspirational things that, if you have time, I think are really valuable to do. And also, you know, giving parents a sense of about what they can do to really contribute to the school community, like saying things like, you know, we have some kids who don't have shoes, or we have some kids who don't have school, you know, books. If you can bring some books, or if you can bring some shoes, that would be very helpful. Like, you're part of the community. It's not just about your kid. You're part of making the whole school work. And I think that's true for sports teams too. Like, don't just make this about your own kid. Model for your kid how to support a team.
I love that encouragement just around the community base, you know, just that community aspect, and just how we as coaches probably could be a little more proactive in that. And I think a lot of times probably my approach has been, hey, focus on how you can support their child and their journey, what's important to them, because that's going to get you some credibility and buy-in, and there's value in that. But also, once you've done that, to also be encouraging concept of team and what role the parents and the players can play in that. I think that's really profound.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'll give you another analogy from school is that, you know, sometimes mostly wealthy parents will come in, happens to be wealthy parents, not that all kids aren't gifted, but they'll come in and they'll lobby for a gifted class in a school, in a public school in Boston or Cambridge or whatever. And, you know, those parents got to think about, well, if they're lobbying for a gifted class, that's going to cost the school a lot of money. Who's that money going to be taken away from? And, you know, I think, you know, on a sports team too, if you're lobbying constantly for your kid to have more playing time, you got to recognize that means some other people aren't going to have this much playing time. Like, you got to embrace that. If you're thinking about the team, you got to think about both. Like, before you lobby for your kid having more playing time, think about the kids who aren't going to have as much playing time. Just a reminder, feel that tension, not just about your own kid.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great, great point. I believe it was around 14 years, almost 15 years ago that you wrote this book. And I'm sure it came out in 2009. So I'm sure it was a labor of love for many years before that. When you look back over the last kind of 15 years, what have you changed your mind on and what have you doubled down on?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know that I've really doubled down on how sports in too many circumstances has become symbolic, a manifestation of a lot that's wrong with our country right now. That we got a lot of parents who are really just about their own kid and they're not getting it in a bigger way. And I continue to be worried about that, and that there's such a profound opportunity for sports to be a very different experience for kids, to really demonstrate for kids what a community looks like and feels like, how you get along with people you disagree with. You know, we're an incredibly fractured country right now, but sports is an opportunity to learn how to be teammates with people that in some ways you don't like or you don't respect. I mean, there are all these powerful opportunities in sports. So I guess mostly what I'm feeling is, you know, I'm loving people like you two. I mean that. Like, we can't blow this out. We can't squander this opportunity. Like, sports is a really great forum for changing some of the things that we want to change in our culture. And I'm mostly cheering for the great coaches out there and the great systems out there that are trying to make it that and not just a reproduction of what is wrong about our culture.
Well, we'll get you ahead here on this one. I've just got this question. And again, this is coming from a head varsity girls basketball coach. And JP alluded to this a little bit earlier, kind of this oscillation between the game doesn't matter and yet the game is super important, you know, in the moment. And I think that's been a hard tension for me to manage. I think back to just as I've been building here in the school that I'm at right now, like, there's a very high achievement culture in sports, in drama, in music, in the classroom. The expectations are through the roof, right? And that drives the culture for what's expected of kids and staff and everyone else. And there's part of me that just resists that, you know, that just says, look, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, this game doesn't matter at all. You know, we're trying to put a ball through a circle. And so I've felt myself, even in my own kids' activities, of swinging way to the side of this doesn't really matter at all. And yet I don't think that's right either. So how would you counsel somebody that's, you know, sort of, I guess, challenged by both ends of that spectrum where, in the moment, the competition does matter. We are trying to win. We are trying to perform well on the test, whatever it might be. And at the same time, there's a healthy perspective here that this isn't necessarily the most important thing that's going to happen in your life.
Yeah. So, you know, this is what I was talking about a little bit before. I think this is the place that a lot of us are getting stuck. And what I'm suggesting is that we all want to avoid tension in our lives, right? Like, inner tension. But inner tension is really appropriate about this. We should feel that tension. We should feel that tension between wanting kids to perform well, but also wanting them to have a positive experience that really builds character. And that when the experience becomes too stressful for them, when the experience begins to compromise the development of their character, then that's the point at which we really got to change course and do something differently. And it's hard to say this generically. I think it's a lot about coaches being tuned into individual kids too, because, you know, as you know, there's some kids who can compete and perform at a very high level and they're in the zone and they're thriving. And there are other kids who are in agony about, you know, like it's just so stressful for them. And there are other kids that are great teammates, and there's some kids that are just about themselves. So part of it is also like tuning into the individual kids on your team too, and figuring out how they find the balance, you know, dialing some kids down, dialing other kids up, you know, it's that kind of work. And I just appreciate that you're in that zone of trying to figure it out. And I think that's the right zone to be in, not the wrong, you know what I mean? Not the wrong zone to be in.
I love so much of what you shared today. I love your book. And I just want to thank you for coming on the podcast. You know, most of the authors that we have on have actually written a book recently. This one's from 2009, which you wouldn't have known it. Honestly, it speaks so well still to parents and coaches today. Almost, I feel like you were some sort of prophet. I wish more people had read your book back in 2009. Maybe we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in right now. We appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing with us, Rick.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here. And I really appreciate the work you're doing and you're doing this podcast. So way to go. I'm cheering for you. I'm cheering for both of you.
Okay, that's it from Richard Weisbord. Some great takeaways. Developing character requires reps. We got to work with the athletes to focus on behaviors like appreciating their teammates or being grateful for their opponents. I love this encouragement to explore a code of conduct for parents. I've actually done some of that in some workshops that I've done with sports parents, where I've actually worked with the parents to help co-create a code of conduct for themselves, for each other. There's also some great recommendations, you know, really talking about what things we can learn from, you know, great schools or what they're doing in education. Just reaching out to new parents, making those calls, building those connections early. And I think, you know, he was talking obviously in a very idealistic way. You know, we have limited time as coaches, but how much time could we actually save ourselves downstream by putting a little bit more effort upstream into building those relationships, those partners with parents? Also, it's hugely important for us to give parents an opportunity to contribute to the team in a meaningful way. And I'm not sure what that looks like in your context, but hopefully you can be creative and thinking of some solutions there. Now, I think at the end of the day, his book and speaking with him really was a call to action for me as a coach to see myself as a partner in helping to raise good people. As a coach, I'm not, you know, the one responsible for them, but I do have a responsibility to them to help them grow. But most importantly, I think what's been the most biggest impact on Rick's work on me is that I have a responsibility to my own children. And as coaches, we shouldn't neglect that responsibility. And far too often, I think we do. I think we're so caught up in trying to help the kids on our team that we are not as present and active in our own children's lives. And that, I think, is a real tragedy. So hopefully you enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, please be sure to share it. Also, subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review if you can.